it would be a sound mind. And the Lord began to deal with me actually yesterday, I think it was maybe late yesterday, and about the mind and how the enemy wants to come. And a lot of people say, well, my mind is a battlefield. How many knows God don't want your mind to be a battlefield? It can be a battlefield, but he wants you to have a sound mind. God don't want us to have a mind that is unsure, unstable, you know, because our faith has a lot to do with how we walk and where we go and the victories that comes into our life. Put that 2 Timothy up there, please, Beth. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He give us what? A sound mind. I mean, we have a sound mind. Well, just like Johnny was talking about, you know, whatever thoughts was coming, you know, trying to get him insecure, trying to get him. That's what it was. It was just really thoughts coming, you know, because the Bible is really clear on who we are. We are the children of the Most High. We are anointed of God. And we are geared to win. We're geared to have success. And, you know, and I was thinking about faith. I was thinking about, you know, we know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing by the Word, testimonies people give, preaching, different things. The Holy Spirit quickens it. And I was thinking about knowledge. I was thinking about the more knowledge that I have got over the years about God, how God is and all that, the more that my faith increased. So that's why Satan don't want you, standing on the Word of God. He don't want your mind renewed to the Word of God. He wants you speaking defeat over your life, because the Bible says, I believe it's in Proverbs, he says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Well, we got to think in line with God's Word and keep our mind. The Bible says in Isaiah, he says, and I used this 29 years ago in the jails down there, you know, people get in jail and everything. But I mean, those people in jail, their lives are not all straightened out. They ain't been going to church and Sunday school most of the time, you know. And so the Lord told me one scripture, I believe it's in Isaiah 23, 2 or 3 or whatever, but it says, he will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord because they trust, there it is, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And the Lord told me, he said, go down there. He said, tell them to do what you're doing, because I was renewing my mind to the Word of God, had a New Testament in my truck, my work truck and different things. I didn't own my own business then. And so I was, and Teresa, she was diving into the Word, reading 3, 4, 6, 8, 10 chapters a day of the Bible. And we don't even know really that we're renewing our mind. I didn't. You know, but that Word was renewing my mind, and then it was causing me to have peace because I was keeping my mind on Scriptures. How many knows you keep your mind on Scriptures, you're keeping your mind on the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we're born again, and then when we gain knowledge, just like the Bible says over there in Joshua 1:8, it says, he told Joshua on up above that, he said, now that Moses has died, He told him, I want you to go and I want you to meditate on the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. He said, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And you know what he was telling Joshua, I believe, is, I know the task is impossible. I know it looks impossible. The situations look impossible. The people are complaining, you know, and all of this stuff. But if you'll keep your mind and observe to do it, he was saying, be doers of the Word. Not just read it and hear it, you know. He said, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking about how when I got born again, that's all I got. Your flesh don't get born again. Your mind don't get renewed, you know, to God's Word. And some of the things that we learn before we get saved, we've heard about, you know, through Christians and different things and their opinions and their beliefs and all of that. And how many knows that can cause you to have an unstable mind if it's not in line with the Word of God, you know? And so anyhow, I started, you know, renewing my mind to the Word of God, and I felt like, I started feeling like, man, I am more than a conqueror. I can have a house. I can have a good marriage. I can. My mind started changing because I was in there with God now, see. We serve in Jesus. We serve in God. But we got to renew our mind to the Word of God and so that our actions are lining up with the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about being perfect and all that. I'm talking about having a heart and a mind that we're going to be victorious. We're going to have, you know, success in the Lord. So the Lord was, I could just see, you know, even in my own life, I mean, facing some things, and I thought about it. I thought, this is not my first rodeo. I've been through COVID. I've been through 30 years in my business having to stand at different times and keep my mind stayed on the Lord. Because, I mean, I remember one time going through some hardship, you know, and I felt less than a man. Well, how many knows that's not in line with Scripture? For me to think that I'm not the man that God called me to be is not thinking in line with Scripture. So you get it in your heart and you begin to walk that defeat out. You begin to walk that out. Well, anyways, because finances wasn't coming in and all that, and I told Teresa, I said, well, maybe I just need to go get a job, you know. I mean, at least I could be bringing home some, you know. And she said, what did the Lord say? How many know that's a good thing to think? Is these thoughts coming from God, or are they coming from the enemy, or are they coming from me? You know, and especially, you know, I was telling Travis the other day, I said, Satan always tries to take advantage of trials. When Christians get in trials, you know, he might not even be messing with you, you know, might not. But if he sees you sweating it, he sees you in a trial and all of that, he comes and tries to take advantage of that. But that's all he can do. He only has suggestion. He only has to maybe cast a thought in your mind. Hallelujah. What's the use? Well, a guy today, Travis, he's on next to the lad, got his concrete and he's building. I watched his faith, but I watched the rock cause him to shut it down and go and had to recoup a little bit, you know. And then you know, the dread of hauling all the dirt in because you can't dig down, you got to build up, you know. And see, the thought was exciting about hauling the dirt till you got to go get in the dump truck, right? You know, whoo, yes, Lord, building. Or, yes, Lord, I'm coming out. Or, yes, Lord, I'm going to have a good marriage. Whatever it might be, you know. And I watched him make his mind up, and I saw his faith a little bit. I see you guys. You know, when you're walking in faith and you're not quitting, you're not backing up, you might not even feel like you're winning, but you're, every step forward's winning for you. Every step that you don't give in to those thoughts and let Satan wants to control your mind. See, but me and Teresa found out, you know, back down yonder that our mind didn't belong to the devil. Don't even belong to God. God gave us our mind. You know, in the mind is where thinking patterns take place. Our mind is where thinking patterns take place. We set thinking patterns. See, I had thinking patterns back before I got born again, and had to get rid of them after I got born again, that the only way that I would ever be successful is if somebody give us a break in life, you know, give us some land or give us this or that, you know. I mean, I'm making, you know, $4, $5, $6 an hour at that time, you know, and everything, you know. But God spoke to me one day, and he said, Jesus gave you a break. And I began to find out what Jesus done for me. How many knows you got to get in the Bible to do that? Or we got a library right here. I'm telling you, there's a library right here. You can check out books. And a lot of the little bitty books, I didn't like thick ones, that we put in here changed my life. They put scriptures in there, and they're just short, you know, and all of that. Praise God. But what they were doing is helping me renew my mind. Them books didn't change me. I got knowledge out of them books. I got knowledge that I'm more than a conqueror because it come out of the Bible, you know. And so I had to start changing my mindset. You see, the mind is where patterns are set, you know. And so I was double-minded as a young Christian. I would believe and get all excited in church. Then the trial would come out there. Then I would quit believing. You know, that's double-minded. James says that kind of man won't receive nothing from the Lord. Unstable, they'll be an unstable. See, God give us a sound mind, a stable mind, hallelujah. And so your flesh, your actions and all that, your flesh didn't get born again. Your mind didn't get renewed. You know, you got to renew your mind. That's why reading the Bible. I don't understand everything in the Bible, and I've been reading that Bible for 30 years. But that don't stop me from reading that Bible. Because I'm like, I don't have to understand, because I understand the Scripture says that flesh receiveth, the natural man receives not the things of God, but the spirit man. Your born again man is where you receive. That's where you receive the Word of God, and then you begin to get revelation by the Holy Spirit. You can't get me broke. I've got revelation in there that I'm a wealthy man before I ever had a dime. But God, and I mean, I didn't let working for the other man stop it. It's I started prospering. Praise God, I found out about tithing. How many knows I was getting a different mindset? Because before I got saved, I was thinking, if I have anything nice, I'll have to go steal it. and so once I reading the Bible, and it says, let a man steal no more. And I thought, oh man, that messed me up. See, it didn't mess me up. I had a defeated mindset. And so I read that and I thought, man, can't steal no more tax. Can't steal no more nails. Can't. And then I thought, it says, let a man work with his own hands. See, that's what reading the Bible did for me. Let him work with his own hands that he have to give. And I thought, oh man. Have to give. I got to pay my light bill. I need a house. See, that's why you need to renew your mind to God's Word, because God's Word begins to break down limitations in your life that limits God. See, God's not limited. He's not limited by your income. He's not limited by, you know, I was telling Travis the other day, I said, you know, I went and I taught Mom the Bible on tithing. You know, and she told me, she said, boy, God understands. God knows my heart. And I said, look, Mom, I said, I'm not trying to convince you. God's Word says it. I said, but God wants you to live in abundance, Mom, on a $665 check or whatever it was, 600 something. I said, Mom, God just wants to prosper you. And she said, well, God is God. God can do what He wants. And I said, no, He can't. I said, He's bound to His Word. I said, what do I mean? He can't break His Word. But you do His Word, you apply His Word, and then He does what He says in your life. I said, you're limiting God. Got her a little upset. Our flesh always gets a little upset because we're getting out of control. The more you renew your mind, the more out of control you are, and in control He is as you yield and lean and trust. You build, you set different mindsets, different patterns in your mind, and you break that old pattern thinking. That's what the Bible's talking about in Romans 12. It says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the way the world thinks, the way the world acts, the way the world does. But be transformed, renovated, renewed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. And then it says you will walk out what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's God's perfect will that you be overflowing with finances. We got to build this church. This church, and we don't borrow money, and we are not beggars, and we're not washing cars and having fish fries and make a dollar a sandwich. It's not going to happen. I mean, how long would it take us to get $2.5 million or whatever we need? A dollar on a sandwich. We're not, and I'm not against anybody that does. I can only account for this ministry. You know, but God told me, He said, there's nowhere in the Word where you're supposed to be a beggar. We're believers. We're not beggars, we're believers. You're not a beggar. You're a believer. You don't have to beg God to touch you. You don't have to beg God to bless you. No, God says, walk with me and I will do it. Walk with me, renew your mind to my word. Hallelujah. See, the world's, I mean, you know, these people come here before and we needed money and different things for the building. We didn't borrow anything, you know, to do all of this, you know. And I hadn't kept up with it, but one guy come in, he says, well, we want to have fish fries, you know, and help fund the church. I said, no, thank you. He said, what do you mean? I said, we can't wait that long. I told him, I said, no. I said, no, no, no. I said, we're not going to make it happen. I said, God's doing it. I said, it's a lot easier for me to sow everything we got, give and it shall be given. Sow everything we got and get everything we need. That's easier than fish fries. Right? Hallelujah. God, and I don't talk about other churches. Do what you do. Hallelujah. But you know, God, one time they called me up to come minister to the youth up there in my church, you know, and they're doing a little car washes. Because I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen take the teenagers out there and they don't wash the wheels good and all that stuff and want an offering. And that's ungodly to me. That's just ungodly to me. But anyways, you know, they're trying to raise money to go on mission trips and all that. And ain't nothing wrong with none of that. And I go up there, and the Lord said, I want you to go up there. He said, and I want you to preach, and they're going to give you a good offering. He said, and then I want you to bring the youth up. He said, and I want you to give it to them and show them how easy it is to get the money to go on that trip. I thought, boy, I'm going to be a bad guy. Well, I ministered to them, and when they give me the offering, I said, bring me that offering. Bring me that offering, praise God. I said, you know what? I said, y'all believe in God to go on this trip right here? I said, here God is. He's sending you. He told me to give to you. I said, when you're believing God, you receive. Don't the Bible say in Mark 11 over there, whatsoever things ever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it? Well, I started teaching that in the jail. We want out. Well, get Mark 11. We want our kids back. Well, get Mark 11. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Yeah, but the courts. No, you got to forget the courts. You got to get Mark 11. Renew your mind to Mark 11. Renew your mind to Mark. That's what I tell them. Renew your, get the butt out. Get the butt. What if? They are the system. I've heard it all, the system. That's why, you know, I taught Travis when he's waiting on his income taxes. Every year he's going to do this. And then I got sick of hearing it. I'm his daddy, but I still got sick of hearing that unbelief. It was okay the first year. But I'm like, you got to wait a whole year to get your donuts. Or whatever you want. So I told him, I said, hey, son. I said, why don't you quit putting your trust in that and believe God and get what you're going to get when you get your income taxes back. And then when you get your income taxes back, you already got what you was going to spend it for. Well, he went to another level. He did. He started doing that. Praise God. Well, Mark 11. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord told me a long time ago when I went in, you know, and I'm a Christian. We're getting $20, $30 of food stamps. This is back in the 90s. And you know, we own all kids. And ain't nothing wrong with none of that. I'm not down on that stuff. It's just what God wanted me to do, you know. Anyways, I go in there. And then she said, have you got any savings? And I thought, man, if I tell this snob that, you know. Because they were snobby to me down there, man, I guess. You know, I don't, I'd lie about my piggy bank, you know. And I thought, I got to tell her now. So I told her, and she said, you don't qualify for food stamps anymore. It made me mad. I went out there, and I thought, man, I just want to backslide. She's taking $30 a month, man. That's $30. That was a pretty good bit back then. It was to me anyways, you know. And I get out there, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, I increased you. He said, I increased you. He said, and you don't need them. I thought, and then I had a revelation. I thought, I've been delivered from food stamps. Praise God, I got delivered. Then I got happy. The same place, all I did was change my mindset. From looking at it like it took from me, that was a blessing to me, praise God. Well, I went around, you know, because the Bible says that I'm the head, not the tail. See, you need to get these scriptures, and you need to get these every day going across your mind. I'm the head, not the tail. I lend it no matter what you're facing. That's why you want to do it, where you can change what you're facing. Where you can change the odds. Hallelujah. You change the whole arena of your future, praise God. I go around telling Teresa, I'm rich. I'm rich. We ain't got no money, man. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. The Bible says I'm rich. The Bible says I'm rich. Well, but God, I'm just rich. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I said it so much, I go around and people say, well, that's Scotty. Boy, he thinks he's something, got all that money. I just didn't even know. I probably didn't even have a banking account. All I was doing was acting on the Word of God. But you know, it wasn't long till I had it. But God, I wasn't disobedient. Well, anyhow, I come in one day and I'm talking about it, and she said, well, you know what? She said, rich kids don't have their kids on all kids. And I thought, oh man, I shouldn't be telling her this stuff. You know, if I hadn't told her that, we could keep all kids, you know. And so I thought, why do I have to be challenged with this? You know, that's what I was thinking at that time. Why can't I just believe God and leave everything alone? Well, that's not going to happen. You believe in God, He begins to maneuver you and take you higher and higher. You got to renew your mind, because your mind's got to go with your spirit. Your mind's got to come up with your spirit, hallelujah, because your spirit, you're wealthy. I'm not just talking about financially. Well, you know what? I thought, bless God, she's right. And then my mind began to tell me, there's your mind, see. My mind wasn't sound. I thought, oh my God, what if he gets sick? You know, I mean, then I'll take him to the hospital, and then that hospital, and blah, blah, blah. You know, your mind. See, the Bible says that our mind is an enemy to God. It's enmity against God. That's why those that have their mind on the flesh, oh my, I thought I'd have to take him to the hospital. That don't mean that we're bad. You know, he said, carnal mind is death, but a spiritual mind is life and peace. Right? Romans says it. Hallelujah. And so I thought, okay, bless God. If I believe I'm rich, well, then, bless God, we just ain't get no more all kids. And you know what? Travis never died. Look at him. And when we did have to, I don't think we had to take him much, but when we did, God always supplied the money for us. He took care of us, praise God. And don't think I'm preaching against, I'm just telling you how God brought us out and delivered us. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you anything, you know. But the more you renew your mind, it's going to take you higher. It's going to bring you out of depression. It's going to bring you out of fear. And the more you walk in love, like we've been hearing, the love of God. I mean, Teresa, I'm wondering what she's going to, she, what, I mean, she's looking at the paper. I look at the paper and see what I'm going to give. I believe there ain't nothing on it. And I'm like, that's a miracle. That's somebody else. I'm like, good Lord, I got to get her out of love book. Now, I'm just being funny in that, and I don't want her out. I want her walking higher. That's believing to be a blessing right there. I mean, that's not thinking about yourself. See, what the Word of God does, it gets you off of you, you know, and it'll get you on God, and God loves you. God loves you, and the Bible says that He don't hold any, not one good thing from us. Then when we walk upright, how do we walk upright? Not that you're perfect in the flesh. It just means you totally, you're going to believe God. You've set your heart to trust God. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your marriage. Trust Him what He says in His Word. If He says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, you just receive that, praise God. And then you just walk around, and you, kind of like Teresa went through and got her scriptures out, had that vertebrae or whatever they called it. They didn't know what it was. The two or three doctors said, there's nothing we can do for you. We can't help you. You know, and that is discouraging if you let it, you know, I mean, it's final. You know, it's just if you just listen to that report, but that's not what the Word says. So she goes in, and every day, she's doing it every day now. She reads it. She reads the Bible every day. If I'm there around, she does it consistently, far as I know. She's got certain scriptures she reads every day. Prays the prayer over this church and everything else every day. Praise the Lord. She's getting on the love of God. But anyways, and she got her scriptures, and she began to take her medicine. How many knows Joshua didn't say, he didn't tell Joshua, read the Bible every now and then. Read the Word that I give Moses every now and then. Think about it when you get in trouble. You know, turn to it just whenever things get stuck. No, he told him, he said, meditate on it day and night. And the Lord spoke that to me back under in 1995. And when I was reading that about Joshua. And I didn't even know the full story of when Joshua and them got to Canaan land. I didn't even know it when God spoke that to me. And it just stuck out to me that he told him to meditate on it day and night. I even looked up back under 28, 29 years ago, the word meditate. It means to think about. It means to mutter out of your mouth all the time. That's what, and the Lord said, He said, whenever I show you something in the Word, he said, then you meditate on it, you think about it. And it, to me, that meant go in there and read it till I can tell you where it's at without going to it. And I can quote it to you. That was what it meant to me at that time, just the sense of it, you know. And so I thought, man, you didn't say you would make him prosperous. And I'm asking God, I'm like, why didn't you say you would make him prosperous? And he said, because I was with him. Well, is he with you? Right? Is God with you? He is. If you give your heart to Jesus, he said, I'm with you always, all the way to the end. So then he's already with you like he was Joshua, right? And so I thought, oh, God's with me. He's with me, you know. And I didn't understand, how's this going to make me prosper, meditating on this stuff and meditating on that stuff. Then I thought, well, I'm going to meditate on the good stuff, man. So I got Luke 6:38 out there, and it says, give and it shall be. I wasn't thinking, oh, no, I don't want to give. I didn't even think about that. I'm meditating on the Word. And I meditate on that Word, and all of a sudden, it hit me. I thought, if I give somebody something, if I give God something, well, you know what? It changed. It started renewing my mind, praise God. So I started taking, because of that Word, I started taking an offering to my church. I took an offering for a raise at work, and I wasn't going to ask anymore. And you know what? Less than a year, I was making almost double what I was making when I got saved. It wasn't quite double. And I was off on Saturdays. I was off. I didn't have to work a half a day anymore. And I was making more money then than I'd ever made, and less work. And that's why I say, thank you, Lord, for less work and more money. And it's not because I'm lazy. It's because of God's Word. It renewed my mind to it, praise God. And then one day, the Lord said, quit working for a living. And I thought, well, I tried to quit working, and man, I had to go back to work. You know, he wasn't talking about that, you know. I tried to quit it because I'm an evangelist, and I quit, and we got hungry. I mean, things were not flowing. I was quoting, going to church, but I had to be in obedience to the Holy Spirit. If he's telling you to renew your mind, would then cut off whatever is blocking your mind and renew your mind so that you can walk out what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't think I've arrived at all of it now. I'm just giving you a little bit of what I know. But he'll show you way more. I'm going deeper. I'm going further. Hallelujah. I'm coming out. I'm going up. Hallelujah. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to prosper in my old age. I'm a young man, but I'm promised 120, so I'm gonna keep my mind. And if you've renewed your mind to a certain point and something tries to come to get you off of that level with your mind, you stop it. You cast it down. That's why I come to the church here a while back, and I was under, I mean, I went, I come through COVID, and I mean, it was terrible, 6 months to get doors, and had to figure all of that out, and then people canceling, if you didn't get money down, they could cancel, and you had to, if you ordered a door, you owned the door, you couldn't cancel at any time. And so I'm like, oh, glory to God. So I had to go to Proverbs 3 over there. You may know what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. See, some of you may think, well, I don't really have it like that. You will have opportunities to come up to where you've got to acknowledge God in it. I don't care how made you think you've got it. Well, you know what? I seen my mom start tithing. Teresa paid her bills and all of that stuff, and she called Teresa up, and she said, don't even ask me every month, just write a tithe check. And she didn't even go to I didn't have a church at that time. She had her own church, and she said, just send my tithe over there every month. And you know what? I started seeing her prosper. I mean, me and Teresa went out to buy her gas, and we bought her a car or two or whatever, you know. She didn't have the money, and I wasn't going to let her get things on the credit, you know, and she couldn't afford payments and stuff on stuff. But you know what, praise God? I mean, after she started doing that, I started seeing my mama prosper. I started seeing her prosper. What happened? She come above the government. And I learned through that 28 years ago, you know, that that don't put your and run across the scripture where it says cursed is the man that trusteth in the man. This world system, your job, your government check, your social security, or whatever it might be. It's all of us. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. But blessed, somebody say blessed, is the man that trusteth in the Lord. He is our help. You're being noticed. 6 months. 6 months, you're already being noticed. Hallelujah. And I mean, I've seen it. Both of them lost their jobs. And I mean, he got a raise and he's paying her on Friday to go get ice cream, I guess. It's great. I mean, that is awesome. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's just really awesome. I mean, he got more money in just a minute closer to. You know, now 6 months, and he don't think he qualifies, that now he's training people. Now they're going to see how good he trains people. Look, Teresa told me one time and about Travis. She said, and it reminds me of it, because I had a lot of hands and had some hands and different things, and I was sending Travis with this one, and he's probably one of the worst ones about different things, you know, and everything. And so I come in one day, and she said, don't let him train him. She said, you train him. She said, don't let him. And I thought, he's got to be with me all the time. Well, that's what you do, right? That might get on your nerves. I mean, you know. And I thought, man. And so I start taking him with me winter time, and I used to build dune buggies, and we had four wheelers and horses and all kind of stuff, you know. And it could be 70 degrees, 65 degrees or so, and he'd have on a boggin and gloves, and I'm like, good Lord, you're killing me. So when he went to work, you know, it was winter time, and he's over there, and he can't get out of the truck, Johnny. It's winter time out here. And I thought, oh my God. I went home and I said, I don't know if he's going to make it or not. I just don't know if the boy's going to make it or not. You know, and then he'd get cut a little. No, I need to call mama. No, here, man, get some Band-Aid. I got a Band-Aid. Told Aiden here a while back. He said, Papa, I need a Band-Aid. Let me go see grandma. I said, Papa's doctor. I go over to the service truck and get an old dirty rag out of there, cut a little off, throw it on that finger, wrapped her up with duct tape, not duct tape, but electrical tape. Got to teach him to be a man. You don't run to mama, you tape it up. Well, you know what, praise the Lord. My point in that, see, she wanted him trained by the best. And you know what, right now, I mean, he levels everything, and I mean, he leveled it, and he told me one day, I said, that'll be out on some wire or something. He come in there and said, change that right there. Dad's getting too slack on that wire. Because I want it neat, straight, I mean tight. You know, and at that time, I'm just like, leave it. Just leave it. It's good enough for me. And he's like, don't do it, you know. And I'm like, oh, now he's getting on my nerves. I trained him to be the best, but now that's getting on my nerves. Well, whatever reason was, that dad didn't feel good or whatever. You know, praise God. But my point in that, see, she saw. She knew me. She knew that I was diligent in some things in it, you know, and all of that. And she wanted him trained. Now, he is one of the best door men in the country. He's 16 years, 17 years into it. And I mean, he's one of the best, you know. I just told him, I just tell him all the time, I've not taught you everything. I don't think he believes it. But no, I learned stuff from him. Different ways he does stuff and all of that stuff, you know. But my point is, his success relied on me renewing my mind as a father, renewing my mind in business, and you know, and having a heart after God in it. Hallelujah, you know, and believing God to prosper it. Well, if you believe in God to prosper you, here comes trouble. I'm just trying to prepare your mind for action. First Peter 1:3, I believe it is. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Prepare your mind. Get your mind. Whatever battle that I have to face, I'm going to have God's best. I'm going to have the promises of God. If God says I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, I can look cursed and feel cursed, but I'm going to confess that word. I'm going to stand on that word. That word will deliver you from that. See, it's not really because we have this great mountain-moving faith. The Bible says if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, right? Small, we can speak to mountains and tell it to move from here to hinder and all of that, praise God. But the main part is renewing the mind and acting on what little bit we know. When we act on it, God's favor and God's grace, it comes in and begins to work for us. It's looking like right now I'm challenged on two of the biggest jobs I've ever had because of the door company. You know, and I mean, the words have come to me, you know, and different things, you know, and thoughts and all of that, and I'm casting them off on the Lord. And, you know, and I was telling Teresa the other day, she said, there's not much you can do about it other than, I said, no. And she said, it sounds like you got to wait. You got to, well, I preach it here. Patience. I preach it, but when it comes to me, right? See, we can hear it. I got to be a doer out there. I'm not exempt because I study the Word. I'm not exempt because I have a ministry to pastor or teach or preach. I'm not exempt from doing it. I've got to do it if it's going to work for me. You know, and so, one day, I bet you I cast down thoughts of defeat concerning that over 150 times in one day. And then it tried to go to bed with me. This is going to happen. It might not be that for you, but it might be something in your future. It might be something you're believing God for, hallelujah. And it tries to stay on your mind. That's why you got to renew your mind to the Word of God. Put that 2 Corinthians 10 up there, Beth, please. You want to be in peace? Then keep your mind on the Lord. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for the pulling down of strongholds. Did you know that things can talk to you and become a stronghold of defeat? I mean, they can convince me, and then I will make wrong choices. I'll begin to try to save the jobs, to make it happen, and I'll only mess it up. Cast down those thoughts. Do all. The Bible says, do all you can do, and then stand. Right? Stand, therefore, having on the armor, faith and all of that. Stand. Whenever there's nothing you can do in the natural, praise God, don't try to make it happen. Just stand and believe God and plead the blood of Jesus. I mean, praise God, and just tell the enemy, you know, you might as well go back to where you came from. Don't tell him hell because he didn't come there from there. But he's going there. You can remind him he's going there. People say that, you go back to hell where you come from, he ain't been there yet. He's going, he's a destiny. Hallelujah, praise God. But don't let the enemy take your mind of fear of dying, fear of somebody dying. Listen, the Lord told me one time, whenever mom, you know, she went into a coma and this and that, you know, and I went and I was fasting and all that to see what the Lord was telling me and all of that, and the Lord, on the third day of fast, see, when you're facing things, why don't you fast? Fast for it. Say, God, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to hear from you. You know, I want to hear what you're saying. And the Lord told me to go pray for my mama, and he's going to raise her up. But you know what? Not too long before that, they come up with this idea that I was keeping my mama alive by my faith, which I was in agreement with my mama, you know. And so, anyways, the nurses and all, they called me over there, my sister called me over there, and her nurses there, and one of them told me, said, Mr. Weston, there comes a time when you got to let them go. You got to let them go. Like that, and I looked at her, and I said, well, I said, you know what? I said, that's not your job. I said, you do your job, and I'll do mine. You take care of my mama, blood pressure, whatever you're here to do, and all of that, and I'll take care of this side, you know. And I didn't mean it ill will, but you know what? I was confronted by it, and it was, you know, and what I was in it. Well, I went and prayed for my mama, and God raised her up. God raised her up, and she lived several more years after that. They wouldn't even go in there because my sisters wouldn't go in there because they're afraid she's going to be dead, you know. Well, I waited on the doctor one morning to go in there, and he went in there, and my mama, when she seen the doctor, she looked at the doctor. She'd been in coma 3 days. And she told that doctor she done had this mentality, I'll fire any doctor or any nurse at any given time I want to. They work for me. That's what she had. Of course, I told her to be bold and stuff a little bit. But anyways, you know, they told that doctor, she said, if you don't give me my medicine, you are fired. And they heard that, and whoo, my sister called me on her knees crying. Oh, Jesus, raised her up. I mean, she's alive. He's real. I said, I've been telling you all the time he's real. But what the Lord told me back before that, he said, you can't minister life to your mama in the flesh with emotions. Poor mama. She's in sad shape. She's bedridden. You know, my circumstance, you know, the Lord was teaching me then to not look at my circumstances to determine what God can do or not. You know, and a lot of them's like, well, it's too late. It's just too, and that's fine. Had a guy going here and his wife went into a coma, something happened to her kidney, whatever it was. They put her on life support, different things, you know, and all of that. And they were going to church here and I went on another fast. And I'm looking on the inside to see if Teresa even told me, she said, man, you need to go visit down there. You're a pastor. It's looking bad and all that, you know. And I told her, I said, well, I can't help what it looks like. I said, I can go down there and nothing will happen. I said, but if I hear from the Lord, well, I did. I went on fasting and everything, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, go down there. He said, I'm going to raise her up. Well, I go down there. Now, I'm just talking about impossible situations in your life when the Scripture says in Luke 9:23, all things are possible if we believe. Your situation is not impossible. Somebody's situation in your life is not impossible. You know, well, anyhow, I go down there and they flew everybody in, or you know how they'll live out of state and all that, the family live out of state. You know, they done got the funeral, they done planned it out. I mean, they done planned it all out. To them, it's over. And I go in there and I just walk over to, his name was James, and I walked over to him and I said, James, I said, I need your permission, man. I said, I want to go pray for, her name was Linda. I said, I want to go pray for her. Oh, sure. Well, I said, God's going to raise her. Well, they all heard it. And then they kind of got around me, and a few of them, you know, and they said, we can't believe you're doing this to him. You're his pastor. You're giving him false hope. I mean, that was hard. Because I mean, I'm going in here, man, I know what God said. That was tough. See, I could have said, yeah, y'all were right, man. James, I'm sorry, dude. You know, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to come down here and get everybody's feathers. No, I didn't do that. I said, we'll see y'all later. And I just went on in there, and I see you, went back there and found out where she's at, went over there, and I just laid hands on her toe, just grabbed her toe, and I come against the spirit of death in the name of Jesus, commanded her to rise and all that stuff, you know. Well, you know what? She came out of that hospital. She came back home. We eyewitnessed it, didn't we? You know, what I'm saying, all I'm saying is, had it went down through yonder and not stood with my mom, not stood with the lady on the street and asked my pastor, when do you give up on them? When do you give up on people when it looks like they're gone? And he said, long as they're breathing, don't give up on them. And they even found out that there was, that these men on the earth at that time, that God sent them to the funeral home, they'd been embalmed and all of that, and told them, get them out of the coffin and slam them against the wall and command them to live, and they walked out of the funeral parlor. So, but my mind had to be renewed, Johnny, to all of that, to these impossible things. But they were done by Jesus Christ, and they were done by the Apostle Paul. And I mean, they tried to boil John in boiling oil, and you couldn't boil the dude and kill him. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, and the fire did the fire. Everything they bound them and tied them, and the things that they were bound by were burned off by the fire. So the trial, and the Lord told me in that, He said, trials will set you free if you yield the right way. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided, I'm going to have God's power. I'm going to serve God. Whatever they were believing God for, they just simply was going to have it. And I watched Travis, and it really thrilled me. And there's been people criticize, oh, his daddy gives him all of mine. They've done that his whole life. Sure, I've been good to him. I've been good to a lot of people on this planet. I give to a lot of people on this planet. I mean, if God tells me to, I just give. I just, you know, praise God. And I did help him out some when the Lord told me to, but I didn't funnel him all the money. I watched him believe in a certain way and seen God do it. He believed in a way that he would know that it was God. He wanted to know that it was God. And so he believed in a certain arena, and I watched him. Well, he had been given an offering to a ministry for 6 months. And when he started giving the offering to that ministry 6 months prior to that, the stuff began to come in for him. Then he just had it automatic draft for every month, you know. Well, it run out, and he didn't renew it, and it dried up. He said, man, I just realized I got to go get that started. A couple of days later, I don't think he'd done it. Nothing ain't happening. He goes back. I told him, I said, it ain't about the money. I said, it's about the obedience. God told you, just like He told Joshua, you meditate on this day and night, whatever He's telling you to do. There's nothing that you can't overcome. I know there's been several things in my life over the course of my life as a Christian that I wanted to quit and overcome and couldn't, and quit and done it and went back and done it and went back. But I took that word in Romans over there where it says sin shall not have dominion. And I named that thing. I named what I wanted to come out of, you know. And one thing I did for about 7 years, I wasn't going to quit. I did it for about 7 years. And then all of a sudden, God lines it up and God helped me. I didn't even do it. God did it and God helped me, praise God. And I mean, there's just instant. See, what I'm saying is I was renewing my mind to the Word of God because my mind would tell me, you won't never overcome this. You won't never come out of anger. You won't never be satisfied. Different things. And you know what satisfies me more today than anything in my life? It's not money. It's not success. I don't have all that. I've had it. God brought me from nothing to where I'm at, you know. But having faith in God gives me satisfaction in life. I'm out there at Aiden. He says, where are you going, Papa? He said, you're going out to pray? He knows it. And I said, yeah, I'm going out to pray. Well, I come back in. I started out. He said, where are you going? Papa, he said, you're going back out to pray? And I said, yeah. I said, Aiden, I said, you can pray all day if you want to. You can pray 10 times. Well, I'm out there, and he got his little popsicle, and all of a sudden he bust out in tongues. I thought, man, praise God. I got a little 7-year-old out here warring in the spirit realm, praying in tongues. Anybody taught that boy tongues? He's got filled with the Holy Spirit at some time or another. Might have been when he's up there raising his hand, praising God during the praise and worship center service. Hallelujah. Might be when he's doing, I don't know when it was, but evidently he's got filled with, he busts out tongues out there. I thought, praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, that's awesome. Well, you know what? I'm believing for my whole family to be saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in every one of y'all. That worldwide ministry came out of that. I didn't feel satisfied. I felt like there was more to ministry, and I couldn't figure out in my mind what it would be, how it could be. I'd done evangelized. I'd done been to the streets. I'd done been to the jails. I'd done been to the nursing homes. I'd done been to the hospitals. I've done been to the prisons, you know. I've been one-on-one to the doors. I've been in the food ministry, and that, I mean, I've done a lot of ministry. From the time I was 27, you know. And so I told Teresa, she likes to mow, and so I told her, I said, I want to mow. I want to mow tomorrow, whatever it was. I said, I'm just going to pray in tongues the whole time. I said, I told her, you know, I feel like there's more and I don't know what. And so I'm praying in tongues and praying in tongues. I don't know, about an hour, maybe 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it was. All of a sudden, on the inside, the Lord said, He said, internet ministry. Like that, and my thoughts got in the way, and I thought, nah, we're not having no stupid internet in that church. You can pull up all kind of stuff anytime you want. That's not going to happen. You know, so I thought, I cast that thought down. I went on praying again. I heard it again. And then all of a sudden, I thought, man, I can go into all the world that way. You know, I thought, man, I would have never thought about that. Well, I went on, you know, seek God in the things that you're desiring from the Lord. Or if you don't know what, pray. If you ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't believe in that. Listen, read your Bible. It's a gift of God. I mean, I don't care who's told you it's of the devil. Look, I was at all kinds of concerts, you know, and I never got filled with the Holy Ghost. The devil was all up in that place, you know, doing cocaine. And, I mean, looks like if it come from the devil, everybody that goes and does all that in bars and stuff would be filled with the Holy Ghost, don't it? If it was of the devil, because it ain't. Well, anyways, that I got all excited. Oh, glory to God. I mean, it excited me. See, God will give you direction, and it'll begin to excite you. He'll give you vision to have a house, to get to whatever the case may be, and you'll feel excited. You'll get excited because it gives you hope. It gives you purpose. It makes it possible. See, faith on the inside of you makes what out here is not possible possible. And so, anyways, I'm all excited, and I'm going to come to the church, you know, and I'm going to tell them, bless God. Woo, ministry growing. Well, God, in between that, I checked it was going to cost $13,000 to build it because it was just new, you know, build the website and all that stuff. It was going to cost $13,000. It was going to cost us $250 or $300 a month for them to run it because there wasn't no such thing as you running it. Whatever you had to get to them, and then they put it on there, you know, and all that. You know, I thought, man, whew, that's pretty expensive, you know. Well, that next Sunday when I went, but I thought, well, God will pay for it, whatever it is. I just made my mind up. This is the will of God. See, you find the will of God, and it don't matter what the circumstances are. God works through circumstances. He's good at details. Well, a guy sits on the very back there, and he sits in a trance the whole service. He had caught up in the spirit back there. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord told him to build. He run the city of Birmingham, whatever, and he built websites. Now, he knew me. He was in some of my family, but not going to church here or nothing, you know. Didn't know nothing that I know of. Well, he come, and he said the Lord spoke to me and told me to build y'all a website and build it free. I thought, praise God. And so I thought, glory to God. We ain't going to have to spend. So he built that website and taught us how to run it. We didn't have to have no. Beth runs it. She runs it. She runs that. So if y'all ever want to go worldwide, all you need to do is get trained right up there in that ministry. And you can send the word all over the world. She works behind the scenes, but she's seen by the Lord. That's a very important ministry, and she takes it very serious. She takes it very serious, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, anyways, that's part of God's dream, and He anointed her to do it, praise God. So don't let the enemy just keep your mind all on your troubles and cares. Go out and trust the Lord and enjoy your day. Enjoy life as you go and believe in God. And faith helps you to enjoy it while you're on the journey. Praise God. So don't let the enemy, you know, don't be double-minded. Make up your mind, I'm going to believe God day in, day out, rain, shine, good report, bad report. I'm going to train my mind to not be moved. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you right now, when you get stable and you believe, that's actually training your mind to be stable and peaceful. Praise God. And I'm telling you, things happen for those kind of folks. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And we thank you, Father, that we...